Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening, where we celebrate and recognize the fact that America has no kings. Congratulations to the millions of idiots who were out yesterday. You were successful. Once again, we have no kings and haven't for 250 years. Congratulations to you. Job well done. Morons. Oh, we're thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com or on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. Going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about the legislature that wrapped up. We're going to talk about the Laugh Fest that occurred yesterday all over the country and overseas. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. We'll talk with NASCAR Cup Series driver Daniel Suarez about the upcoming spring weekend in April up at the Kansas Speedway. Bill Walton, former chairman and CEO of a $10 billion investment company, he hosts the Bill Walton Show, will tell us why he says Trump derangement syndrome has evolved from just political rhetoric into a potential national security liability. We saw that on full display yesterday. My buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will share the results of a new study that shows the mainstream media spent, get this, 0 seconds covering the popular SAVE Act voter ID bill last month. And Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will bring us this week's Under the Dome update from Topeka here coming up in about 30 minutes. They wrapped the session in the wee small hours of the morning yesterday. We'll get an update from Dan on that. And, of course, we'll take your calls at 316-869-1330. So got a busy show, and we'll get to it here in a moment. But first, I do have to talk about the the circus was in town yesterday. And I, you know, I don't know. Have you ever noticed how some people just wake up on a Saturday morning and think, you know what would really make my life better? Standing outside with a sign yelling about something that doesn't exist. I mean, you know, in case you didn't happen to wander down into downtown yesterday, we had another of those No Kings protests. That's right. No Kings. And you know, I'm looking at this crowd thinking, you know, folks, what exactly are you protesting? I mean, did I miss something? Did we wake up and find out that King Charles moved into the White House overnight? Did President Trump suddenly start walking around in a crown and a robe like he's auditioning for a Shakespeare play? You know, did Joe Biden start locking down schools and churches and abortion clinics? Oh, wait. You know, no, he left those open. That's right. That was the Democrats that did all that. Where were the No Kings people back during COVID? Oh, that's right. They were shutting up and doing what they were told. Of course not. Donald Trump hasn't done any of that because we don't have a king. Nevertheless, there was this gathering of what I can only describe as a bunch of bored, aging 60s hippie rejects still fighting the same battles they were fighting back when bell bottoms were in style. And, you know, let me tell you, it looked like a revolution. It didn't look like a revolution. It looked like a reunion tour that nobody asked for. You had folks out there who looked like they literally just wandered off the set of The Walking Dead. And by the way, they were still wandering around chasing brains. I mean, seriously. And here's the irony. If we actually had a king, they wouldn't be allowed to be out there protesting. Which is the whole point of a monarchy, isn't it? You don't get to protest the king. That's why we got rid of that whole system. Oh, I don't know, you know, 250 years ago. It was called the American Revolution. You might have heard of it. Happened back in 1776. Ring a bell? Apparently not. Because if these folks had paid the slightest bit of attention in history or civics class, you know, we already solved this problem. We kicked the king out. We sent him packing. We said, thanks, but no thanks. We'll take it from here. That's literally the founding of our country. But here's the problem, and this is the part that actually matters. We've got an education system today that doesn't teach anymore. It indoctrinates. Instead of teaching civics, instead of explaining why this country was founded and how it works, we get lectures about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We get feelings over facts. We get activism instead of education, which is why so many morons spent their Saturday parading around calling Trump a Nazi and a fascist without being able to define either of those two terms. So now we've got a generation of people who can't tell what happened in 1776, but they can organize a protest about something that hasn't existed here since powdered wigs were popular. And it shows. Because these are the same folks who, let's be honest, can't even tell the difference between a man and a woman. But all of a sudden, it's, you know, this is what they think is a good thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. So is it really that surprising that they can't tell the difference between a president and a king? I mean, after all, they can't tell the difference. They can't tell you what a woman is. And here's my favorite part of this whole thing. Apparently, they had a No Kings protest in the United Kingdom. Let that sink in the United Kingdom, you know, the country that actually has a king. I mean, it's like holding a No Snow protest in Alaska or a No Wheat protest in Kansas or me organizing a protest next week for No Velociraptors. We're going to, you know, march against dinosaurs because apparently it's now fashionable to protest things that don't exist. And I got to tell you, if that's the standard, I've got a whole list. I mean, let's do a no unicorns protest, no dragons, no Bigfoots. Let's just knock it all out in one weekend. We'll solve every imaginary crisis in America by next Sunday afternoon. But let's get back to reality here because the comedy doesn't just stop there. These same protests popped up in places like San Francisco and Los Angeles, cities that are, let's just say, pretty well known for embracing queens, shall we say. And I don't mean the British kind. So let's get this straight. No kings, but plenty of queens. And in some cases, the same folks out there protesting kings are also advocating for queens competing in women's sports and reading to toddlers in public libraries. And, I mean, this whole thing, if you really think about it, is kind of silly, kind of ludicrous. I mean, after all, we do have kings in America. We've got Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, Michael Jackson, the king of pop, the propane guy on King of the Hill. We have Queen Latifah. And don't forget, we also have a Burger King. There's one down the street from me, actually. We got King Tut, King Kong, the Lion King. San Francisco's full of queens. How come they're not protesting all of those? I mean, this whole thing is, you know, so odd. They're confused about gender. They're confused about government. They're definitely confused about history. At this point, the only thing they're not confused about is where to find the nearest protest sign. These protests remind us just how far removed from these people are from reality. And it highlights something important. The biggest threat to this country isn't a king, because we don't have one. We're not getting one. The ship sailed in 1776. The real problem is a lack of understanding, a lack of education, a lack of basic civic knowledge. Because when people don't understand how their government works, they start imagining threats that aren't real and ignoring the ones that are. So while they're out there chanting no kings, maybe someone ought to hand them a history book if they know how to read. Maybe start with the basics, like, oh, I don't know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. You know, the stuff that actually explains why they're even allowed to stand out there and protest in the first place. Because here's the ultimate irony. The very system they're out there criticizing is the one that guarantees their right to do it. Try that under a real king and see how it goes. All those people waving around the Palestinian flag and the Hamas flag, go try that in, oh, I don't know, Palestine. See how well that goes. Spoiler alert, it doesn't end with a clever hashtag. Sometimes there's consequences. So maybe, just maybe, before the next protest, how about we swap out the signs for a civics lesson? See how that happens. You know, I mean, maybe just once in a while, we actually learn something for a change. But, you know, at least there's one upside to this. At least they were out getting some exercise. That might be the most productive thing that happened at these rallies. Fresh air, a little walking, maybe burn a few calories yelling at the crowds. Because other than that, it was just political theater. It's a circus. And honestly, I kind of love when the circus comes to town because it gives the rest of us something to laugh at. We'll take a quick break and then, of course, we'll talk with NASCAR Cup Series driver Daniel Suarez about the upcoming spring weekend in April. Hail to the king, folks. I know mine's Jesus. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whomever they want for our Supreme Court. Kansas deserves a voice in judicial selection. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or want more information, visit takebackthebench.com for more information. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. My next guest, Daniel Suarez, is a Mexican-American NASCAR race driver who currently competes full-time on the NASCAR Cup Series, driving the number 7 Chevy Camaro ZL1 for Spire Motorsports. He is in his 10th season in the Cup Series and sits 14th in the driver standings following the first 6 races of the 2026 season. Daniel, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine, thank you. You know, your background is fascinating as I looked into it. I mean, you've gone from racing in Mexico to winning at the highest level in NASCAR. You've competed against the best drivers in the world. You know, what separates guys who win consistently from everybody else? Because you've really got a really unique story.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, being born and raised in Mexico, it's been a little bit different. I mean, every driver has a unique journey, right? Every single one of us, we have a different path and a different journey. But definitely, mine is the most different. Just coming from a different country and a place where when I grew up, you know, we didn't have a lot of options, right? Like it was only go-karts, really, road course in go-karts, and that was the only option. We don't have ovals for go-karts. We don't have dirt. We don't have any of this kind of stuff. So for me, you know, I always look up to NASCAR a lot. Always been a huge fan of the sport, and always trying to admire the sport of NASCAR. But at the same time, I never thought that I was gonna have an opportunity to come to the United States. I started racing in NASCAR in Mexico, and that led me into eventually coming to the United States.
NASCAR has changed a lot in recent years, new cars, new formats. Do you think it's better for the sport or more complicated than it needs to be?
No, I think it's great for the sport. You know, I think that the sport has done a great job listening to the drivers, listening to the fans, listening to the media, to trying to steer the sport in the right place. And, you know, we had, for example, we have the playoff format for several years, and now we are going back to a chase, which I think, I personally think that is a good change, right? The playoff format was great, and it was very intense and a lot of drama, but it was here for a long time, and I felt like it ran its course, and it was time for something new. And I feel like now we go back to the chase format, which I think, you know, rewards consistency, rewards winning as well, and it should be a lot of fun.
You know, racing, I can only imagine you're racing at 180 miles an hour plus. It's not just physical, it's mental. How do you stay focused when one mistake could end your day or worse?
Yeah, I mean it's just like any other sport, right? Like you have to really operate in a very high level of responsibility, and also very high level of pressure, right? Because, you know, just like a quarterback on the NFL, you know,
right,
like there is
right.
a lot of work, a lot of people working extremely hard, but at the end of the day, it's up to this one person to throw the ball. So it's no different to a driver, right? Like there is a lot of people, a lot of engineers, a lot of mechanics, a lot of people doing the work. But at the end of the day, everything ends in one person, which is the driver. So it's just very important to stay present, to do our work, and to be able to execute the best possible way, and to understand that the most important thing to focus on is the process, you know, to be able to execute a good race.
We're talking with NASCAR Cup Series driver Daniel Suarez. Okay, you got to settle this for us. Who do you think is the toughest driver to beat on the track right now?
Well, right now, I mean, that changes, right? That changes a lot.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Right now, definitely is Tyler Reddick. I mean, the guy has won four of the last six races. They have done an amazing job. I mean, he has done as a driver an amazing job, but also, as a team, 2311, they have done an amazing job. And it's important to recognize those things. You know, it's important to recognize when somebody is doing something special, because you have to learn from that and continue to use them as an example.
So walk us through, you know, a typical race day. I mean, what's going through your head, you know, before prep, and what's going through, more importantly, in those final laps when everything's on the line?
To be honest, it's the same thing that lap five. Honestly, it's no different. You just have to execute the next thing right. And I may sound boring by saying this, but once you put the helmet on, you just have to do your job and execute it, and regardless if it's lap one or lap or the last lap of the race, the task is the same, and the task is to do the next thing right and to execute it well and to maximize the potential of your race car and to maximize your potential as a driver.
Well, I know you're in town right now, and you're coming to Kansas. You've got a race coming up in Kansas City, April 18th and 19th at the Speedway. Do you like the Kansas Speedway? I know, you know, racers have their favorite tracks. Are you a fan of the Speedway?
I love it. I love Kansas City. I love the racetrack. I love the food. I love the people here. Honestly, I love coming to Kansas. It's an amazing place. You know, as a person, not as a driver, but as a person, you always have these places where you really, really enjoy to go. And Kansas, for me, is one of them. I truly love to come to Kansas. I'm so looking forward to come back here in a few weeks. It's always a great race. It's always a very, very intense racing. Like I said, great people, great fans, great food. I mean, you just have everything. So we really have a lot of fun every time that we come to Kansas.
Well, Daniel, we appreciate you joining us. If folks are interested, if they want to check out your website, if they want to follow you, they can find you online at DanielSuarezRacing.com, correct?
That's right. That's my website. Obviously, social media, Daniel Suarez. I also have my YouTube page where we do blogs and things like that behind the scenes for the weekends, a couple times a month. So you guys can check those out if you guys want to learn more about what is happening, behind the scenes. So, I'm looking forward to see you guys in a few weeks in Kansas.
Well, and you're on X at Daniel_SuarezG. I follow you on X. I recommend folks follow you there as well. Daniel, best of luck. Again, you're coming to Kansas City to the Kansas Speedway on April 18th and 19th. I don't know if say break a leg, but we'll wish you the best of luck. I don't know what the lingo is for NASCAR.
The same thing. But thank you so much. I appreciate you, and looking forward to see you guys in a few weeks at the racetrack.
Best of luck, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I didn't want to jinx him. I don't know if you say break a leg and or crack a windshield or something like that. But it'd be kind of fascinating. So best of luck to him. Coming up, Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will bring us this week's Under the Dome update from Topeka. Hopefully he got a little sleep. I think they wrapped it in the wee small hours of the morning. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Aw, Phil. We're like, it's going to be a whole nother chunk of months before we get to hear our Laura Kelly theme song again soon. I mean, we get the veto session and then we have to put it on the shelf for a while.
It's either that or we just need to invite Dan Hawkins more often.
That's true.
We will play it every time Dan comes.
We could do that. He may want his own theme song, once he's insurance commissioner. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. By the way, that's where you can go to vote for the White Rhino Award. We have brought it back. We haven't done it in 6 years. But after this session, I got a lot of requests to bring it back. So, and ironically, I still have the original White Rhino trophy. I found it. I dusted it off.
That's
awesome. So I still have the original White Rhino trophy. So we brought, because it was never claimed by the last recipient. So I still have it. I wonder why he didn't want it. So I still have it. I brought it back, and we're going to do the White Rhino again. So at any rate, Friday was the first adjournment in the Kansas legislature for this session. That means the final day of the regular session is over, the portion of the session, rather. They'll return on April 9th for what will probably end up being a 2 or 3 day veto session to override any vetoes from the governor and take care of any last minute business. With us now to kind of give us a wrap up of a very busy last few days is Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Dan, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
John, it's always a pleasure to hear that theme song. I know I'm up whenever you do that.
Yeah. And what time did you guys end up? I saw the Senate adjourned a little earlier. I think they adjourned before you. What time did you guys end up getting out Friday night, Saturday morning?
We finished up around 12:45.
That's like nothing. That. You and I've been there, 3 in the morning before. 12:40, that's nothing.
I got to tell you, it was a long day.
I'm sure.
It was a real long day.
So let's see here. We'll go to some of the easy ones. We got the App Accountability Act. That was taken care of, right?
No, it didn't ever make it.
It didn't. I thought that did. I thought I saw that that had come out. So that's dead for the year, right? No chance that can come back.
Yeah, it came out, got sent back to conference. We actually tried that a couple of different times. We couldn't get the votes in the House. The Senate passed it easily. It was there was so much, it was just a very contentious debate. We had some of our most conservative against it, which was kind of astonishing to me, because that you would think that would be a no-brainer, but man, did it garner a lot of negative attention.
Well, that was an interesting debate because you had, folks like Kansas Family, value voice on one side, but you also had AFP against it. So that was just an interesting bill. It's one of those bills where friends on both sides were some in favor and some opposed. So,
and you had the chamber against it too. They mounted a big fight against it. And of course that puts when you've got conservative friends on both sides of that issue, it gets tough.
Yeah,
it really does.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware. So we'll see. Which you know how that means. That means that next year it'll be back because much like the Walking Dead, nothing ever dies.
you can pretty much bank on that one coming back, John.
Oh, I guarantee. Since I tried to go with something easy, let's just tackle the tough stuff. What happened with property taxes? I'm having a hard time tracking if we ended up getting anything on property taxes or not, because I've looked at some of the coverage and some of the articles and some of the press releases said we did, we didn't. So what did we get on property tax relief?
Well, so we did get House Bill 2513 passed both sides, not with big margins, but we certainly got it passed. That budget was certainly a tough budget, but throw taxes in on it, property taxes in on it. It was a tough deal.
And what does that do?
you know, well, that was the budget, actually, HB 2513. It was 2745 that passed. I'm not good with numbers anymore because I got so many numbers to keep track of, but that one was, it was 2745. And what it does is it puts a cap on local government spending. They cannot, their budget cannot go over 3%. If it goes over 3% from the prior year, then a protest petition can be signed. And actually your revenue neutral, sheet that comes out every year will have the protest petition on the back of it. You sign that, send it back in. And one thing the Senate did to us, was they bumped it up. We had it at 5% of the last Secretary of State's election. They made it 10% of the registered voters, which is a lot tougher margin to get. For Sedgwick County, it'd take probably 30,000 people to protest it. But I got to tell you, in today's climate, I'm not sure we'd have a hard time getting 30,000 people to sign their the back of their revenue neutral and send it back in.
So like if in Wichita, if 30,000 people signed it and sent it in saying, like, for example, you know, I got a 9% raise in mine. If 30,000 other people, or 29,999 other people sent that in, what would then happen?
Then they would be forced to go back to the prior year's budget.
Interesting.
So, it is a way to, you know, really people don't understand property taxes. What drives property taxes is these budgets, whether it's a city budget, the county budget, school district budget. That's what drives the property taxes.
And does that happen to school districts as well, or just the municipal government?
Absolutely.
So that
it includes school districts.
Well, and that is the big culprit, because as you know, Jim Howell and Jeff Blubaugh pointed out on this show multiple times, the city and the mayor has too. The city and the county aren't the major culprits here. It's the school districts that are the big culprits.
Oh yeah, school districts. USD 259 is more than the city of Wichita and Sedgwick County combined.
Interesting. Okay, so this actually would make a difference to folks, but the key now will be to educate voters that when they get that, they need to sign that next year. It'll be they need to sign it and send it in.
That's right. And if they do, and we get enough of them, it will force these budgets to stay down. So. So it's a big deal. I mean, it's hard getting the votes. You know, you've got 125 people in the House and 40 in the Senate, and they all have a different idea. And, you know, it's like I gave a speech on the 1603 was the constitutional amendment. We did not get enough votes for that. We did get the biggest vote total we'd ever gotten, but in the last 2 years on it, but we didn't get it passed. You know, I gave a big speech on that, and I said, listen, you know, our folks at home want us to do a constitutional amendment. You know, this is something that we can do, and I just could not get enough people to sign on or to vote for it.
Was that Republicans or Democrats that wouldn't vote for that?
Oh, both. Mm. Absolutely both.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I'm sure I know one that voted against it, and that's a conversation he and I'll have. Dan,
there was actually a lot of people that voted against that.
The we're talking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins on this one that we're talking about, the property tax, you know, with allowing protest petitions. Do you think the governor will veto that, or do you think she'll let that go?
I think she'll veto it. I would hope she wouldn't, but you know, our governor, she's a vetoing governor, and I would bet you she'll veto it. You know, and we're going to have to really push hard to get a veto override. We got 63 votes on that, which is the bare minimum. So that means we're, 21 short. So we'll have to work pretty hard. But that's what veto session is for, is to get these things done.
Let me do this. I'm on a break. Let me come. Do you mind sticking through the break?
Not at all.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and try and get a couple more questions in for the Speaker of the House. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. folks, 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick basically whomever they want for our Supreme Court. We deserve a voice in judicial selection. If you agree or if you want more information, visit takebackthebench.com for more information. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest information on the show. Also, want to make sure that you're paying attention. We brought back the White Rhino Award. This is something we did. I mean, it's been a while. We did this back, God goodness, 2021, I think 2020 was the last time we did it, but we've brought back. So nominations are now open for the 2026 White Rhino Award. If you're, if you're rep or your state senator, you know, if they voted to take away your gun rights, if they didn't vote for tax cuts, if they voted against income tax cuts or property tax cuts, if they support Medicaid expansion, basically if they campaigned like a Republican but voted like a Democrat, recognize them for their poor performance. If they're a rhino, let them know. Nominations can be submitted via Facebook or email to john@knssradio.com. We've got the trophy, and we want to award it later on here in the next few weeks. We'll award that White Rhino Award. With us still, somebody who is not a rhino, is our Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins, who stuck around through the break. Dan, thank you for sticking around. Appreciate it.
I did want
to ask you, right? I mean, literally, as you guys were still working, I saw the governor overrode. Yeah, this is, by the way, our middle of the road governor who overrode funding for crisis pregnancy centers and another one, which was like health care for people who are looking for a cheaper health care. You guys were then able to override both of those. But this is pregnancy crisis centers and people looking for affordable health insurance. She over our middle of the road governor over, you know, vetoed both of those. Middle of the road Kelly?
Well, anybody that ever thought that she was middle of the road is either delusional or just uninformed, because she's certainly not middle of the road.
No. And what's funny is Ethan Corson is running this same playbook. And, you know, he's just as left wing as she is.
Oh, yeah. Well, Democrats got quite a lineup there. You got Cindy Holscher, who's just a mad Democrat.
Oh, goodness, I mean, yes.
She's just about as mad as you can be. Now, Ethan's actually kind of a mild-mannered guy, but certainly when it comes to politics, he's definitely not middle of the road either. But, you know, the governor vetoed both of those. And of course, we brought him up all in the same day, overrode. That's unusual for us to already have 3 overrides before we even get the veto session.
Yeah, I was surprised.
So she's vetoed 3 bills so far, and we've overrode every one of them. So that ought to give you a good hint on what's going to happen in veto session.
Yeah, you guys have a heck of a track record. I mean, it's funny. She's got the record for the most vetoes, and you and Ty have the record for the most overrides. So
yeah, you know, we get a Republican governor, we won't have near as many vetoes. I mean, you know, even Sam Brownback, he'd have a veto every once in a while. I don't know that we ever we did override him once, but, you know, we get a Republican, that probably won't happen as much. But right now, certainly this governor loves to veto, and we love to override her.
Well, and deservedly so. I do think it's just kind of funny that she, and then of course she'll go around and she'll claim that she's, you know, listening to the people and she's middle of the road. It is just kind of funny. I did see that there was another bill that you guys were considering, the higher ed restructuring. Where did that come in? Did that get thrown in, or was that a casualty?
No, that made it through both sides. So, and I don't think she'll veto that one. She's been involved in that quite a bit, so she's got a stake in it too. So I don't think she'll do anything with that one.
Was there anything else that was key that I have missed here tonight?
Well, really the budget. You know, our budget, as you know, and I've talked to you many times, how it's hard to get folks to cut. I went into this session really wanting us to trim $200 million, and we need to for the next couple of years, too, just to get back to a balanced budget. You know, we were about $600 million more expenditures and revenue when we started the year. We did end up cutting about $189 million over last year, so that's good. You know, we didn't make the $200 million I wanted, but we got close. People don't understand how hard it is to get folks to trim the budget. You know, and that's really the problem. I don't care whether you're city, county, state, or federal government. We're spending money that we don't have. We're just spending too much money. And quite frankly, it's going to take a really stern speaker and Senate president next year to get people to continue these cuts. It's tough. You wouldn't believe how hard it is fighting people and not spend money. I guess they just like spending other people's money.
Oh, trust me, I would believe it. of all people, I would believe it. Yes, and I've seen it. As you know, I was in the legislature. That was one of my biggest frustrations, and we see it here at every level, at the county, at the city, and certainly up there. And I, for one, appreciate the work that you've done, and I know how difficult this is. And you're going to have one more year next year to try and do it again. And you know, I know that it's tough work, but you got to do it, because if you don't, you're just leaving. You're kicking down the road for the next chamber to have to deal with it. And if it just makes it harder the longer you wait.
Well, it's really hard because the closer you get to having no money, the harder it gets. Then you got to make some really draconian cuts to
right.
be able to make it work.
Right.
Right now, if we do things right, we can trim it and have a responsible budget that's sustainable over time. But it's not easy. Everybody wants something. All of our members want something, and then you don't give it to them, and then they start voting against us. Well, this budget, we only got 66 votes in the House, and I think we got 23 in the Senate. So we passed the budget, but we didn't pass it in a huge fashion.
Well, Dan, real quick, what's your what's the newsletter if folks want to connect with you?
Yeah, if you want to connect, go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out, danhawkinskansas.com. Go to the bottom of the page, fill out the form, and you can get on my Friday morning email newsletter.
Appreciate you, my friend. We'll keep in touch. We'll take a quick break, and then Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Folks, we're always here for you. Let's do us a favor. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 39179. Again, that's the number 39179. And tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social. And, of course, follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So what do you do if you're the networks and, President Trump has pushed a proposal like, say, the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, the SAVE Act. And, by the way, 70% of Americans support. If you're fair, you cover it. Of course, if you hate Donald Trump, you got TDS, you just ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. With us now to bring us the results of a Media Research Center study that proves just that is my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Curtis, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show again, brother.
Hey, good to be with you, my friend, as always.
So, yeah, 0 seconds. That's the amount of time the networks have devoted to the SAVE Act. This was the media MRC analysts reviewed ABC, CBS, and NBC evening and morning news shows from February 11th when the SAVE Act passed the House to the morning of March 6th, basically a month, and found the broadcast networks completely buried the bill. We covered this a little bit on the morning show last week. I don't know. Does this surprise you at all? Are we just... at what point are we just going to give up on the mainstream media and just do a reset on the whole thing?
Yeah. Does taking it out, plugging, blowing on the cartridge, does that work?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the old Game Boy cartridges. The interesting thing about it is, for the first month there, when it really was the front, kind of on the front boiler, on the front plate, so to speak, for the Republican agenda in Congress, yeah, they really weren't that interested. And the reason for that, I think, is there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you know, they don't want to talk about things that are Republican originated that are popular with the American public. And then number two, they're especially not interested because this is a midterm election year.
Right.
When they're trying to create this image that the Republicans do nothing, and, you know, and plenty of people on our side are actually guilty of this all the time. The Republicans are useless. They never do anything. Well, actually, they're proposing all kinds of things like this.
Right. They just can't get anything passed because the Democrats won't cooperate.
Right, you can't get anything passed. But the point is, though, you know, they're not concerned. They don't listen to us. Well, you know, it's very clear that it passed the House, the people's House, and it has all these provisions that are very popular. It's a matter of the Senate. But you can't even get to square one of acknowledging something is happening. And that's where the broadcast networks have come in. Now, I will say, since that time period, this thing, the DHS shutdown, you may have heard of it.
Yes. Yeah, I think I did hear something about that.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that interesting? So now we're starting to see accumulation come in. Why? How do we do this, John? The president starts talking about it more on True Social and starts looping it into his discussions of DHS coverage.
And so they have to cover
it or not. And then they kind of have to cover it. Except, here's the other thing, John. You see, the president wants voter ID measures. Well, yes, that is kind of what the Save America Act is, but it's a little bit more specific than that.
Right.
And you can't actually say the name of the bill because, you know, that would allow Americans to want to do their own research.
That's the problem. Yes, because if they actually say the Save Act, then people will, I don't know, Google it and find out what's actually in it. So they just start saying things like married women or divorced women, you know, people, women who've changed their names will never be able to get another ID ever, ever. It was interesting because my wife recently, a few years ago, had to go through this process because she changed jobs. She had to go get, you know, her birth certificate. What was so funny is we had this conversation the other day and she said, you know, it was very easy. I went to the Social Security Administration. I was in there in 10 minutes. I got it all taken care of. I got my birth certificate. It was very simple. They were easy to work with. You know, this is not hard to do. But if you talk to a Democrat or the liberal media, they will tell you it's impossible. You'll never be able to get another ID. They make it out like the wailing and gnashing of teeth, like you'll never ever be able to get another ID.
John, this is new. Originally, it was minorities are too stupid to understand.
Right. Yes. Now it's women.
The system. And now we're expanding it to include women.
By the way, they finally figured out how to identify a woman for this. That's another one.
Just they will say what is a woman when
it's convenient.
It helps them concoct their own fairy tales. So when they're not playing fairy tales about gender, they're playing make believe with the IQ of women.
Yes, only when it fits their narrative can they identify what a woman is. We're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. I do have to ask you. It's completely off subject, but since I've got you here, I have got to get your take on the wackadoodle clown parade that happened yesterday. I just, you know, because if you watch the mainstream media, they will tell you that this was democracy in action and it was so perfect. It was perfection to see the No Kings and how, I mean, the No Kings parades are just the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I've just got to get your take on the whole laugh clown show that we witnessed yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, Kyle Griffin, a well-known liberal tweeter with MS now, multiple sclerosis now, says 8 million people turned out at more than 3,300 No Kings protests across all 50 states. Organizers say Saturdays were the largest single-day nationwide demonstrations in U.S. history. Well, many others, including my friend Evan Siegfried, a moderate Republican strategist in New York City, pointed out the first Earth Day was 2.5 times the size of yesterday when 20 million Americans showed up. So, that's 8 million, 20 million, Not even close.
Right.
And they love telling themselves this. An oil field rando, that's the handle to look up. He did a thread on this, pointing out how all of these different thousands of supposed disparate New Kings protests throughout the country. Actually, if you look in suburban areas, like, they would have two events, one in the next town over, and they were scattered. They were spread out. So one would be from noon to 2, and then the next one would be 3:30 to 6 or something like that. And so listeners can put two and two together to realize, wait a second, they pack up the one and then they go to the other one and they count the attendance as two separate groups of people,
right?
Even though they're all the same groups of people. Another thing I'll just say is, yeah, yesterday in my section of dark blue, trans loving, rape loving Fairfax County,
yes,
Soros prosecutor, they had it on the one street corner there, and it was all white people over 70,
yes,
probably comfortably retired on their nice government pensions. I bet, John, you know, the most extent that they have is they're the illegal immigrants who clean their toilets and mow their lawns for them. They think they're just the best.
That's the same thing here in Wichita. A couple of years ago, I went down. I've gotten to the point now where I stop going down to interview these people because it's the same crackpots who go down every, you know, other Saturday here in Wichita. It's the same crowd. It's a bunch of the 60s radicals with no brains and, you know, half an IQ. And I don't bother to go talk to them. But if you listen to the media, they make this out like it's, you know, billions of people, completely ignoring, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people that go for the National March for Life every year. They never cover that. But
and my buddy Scott Jennings noted that, like, look in the news footage. Like, there were all kinds of flags. The American flag was slim to none.
Right.
At least it was a strong minority.
Right. But there's plenty of Hamas presence. Flags and Palestinian flags and Mexican flags.
Yeah.
Rainbow flags. And
all kinds of good stuff. In D.C., my friend Brecka Stroll from the Daily Wire went down there, and one of them, an old white woman, asked about the diversity breakdown. And she said, basically, oh, these other minorities can't make it. So that's why we have to be here.
They can't make it. Why? What are they? We know what they're not doing. Working. So,
yeah.
Curtis, I appreciate you as always, my friend. If folks want to follow you, they can find you obviously at newsbusters.org.
Yes.
And you're on X. If they want to find you on X, what's the best way for them to connect with you on X?
Yeah, at Curtis Houck, all one word.
I appreciate you as always, my friend. It's always great to have you on the show, my friend. Talk to you soon, brother.
Talk to you soon, my friend. Always appreciate your support.
He is the best. Coming up, we'll take your calls. The studio lines are open, 316-86. We know they're not doing one thing, Phil. They're not working. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Be back right after this.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
an offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Coming up here, we'll be talking about talking with Bill Walton, former chairman and CEO the $10 billion NYSE traded investment company. He's the host of Bill Walton Show. He is a buddy of mine, and I tell you, it'll be a fascinating conversation. He's ready to actually lose his stuff, shall we say, warning folks about the political rhetoric out there. I got to warn you, he's been trying to raise awareness about folks, and I think we're seeing it. These No Kings protests, folks have been, you're starting to see this Trump derangement syndrome really kind of, it's endemic in this No Kings stuff. And Bill will be joining us here at the bottom of the hour, and it really has evolved from political rhetoric into potential national security liability, and so I'm really looking forward to talking to him about it. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. Also want to remind you to, if you've got, I know we've been playing the promos, and for those of you who've been listening for a long time, it's funny because Phil and I were talking before the show about back in 2001, what'd you call it?
BP.
BP. Before Phil.
Before Phil.
Before Phil. I like that. That was kind of funny. Before Phil, BP. That's kind of good. So BP, before Phil, we did the White Rhino Award. And it was something that actually Dave Wilson and I came up with.
That's
was
right.
The White Rhino Award. And, we do it good-heartedly, good-naturedly. And I do not pick the winners. This is nothing. I have one vote, and right. I give myself a vote, and I've already voted. And I'm sure the person I voted for knows exactly who I voted for. I've made no secrets
bones about it.
Okay. No bones about who I voted. I voted for Brian Bergkamp. He is my state representative, and he's voted against every tax cut this session. I'm very honest about the fact that I'm disappointed in my representative. But that's just one vote. He's had more than one, by the way. But he's not leading the pack.
Oh.
No. He's up there.
But he's not leading
the pack. And we will not share. I mean, I may share who got nominations, but it's been interesting. There have been a few city council members who've been nominated. There have been a few federal delegates who've been nominated. But keep in mind, we've limited this intentionally in the past to adjust your House and Senate members. Maybe we should expand it to include city council. And
that really opens up the field then.
Yeah, it does. It does. But in the past, we always limited it to your state Senate, state House members. And maybe we'll expand it. I don't know. We'll see. We've had, a lot of the city council, and I just got a Facebook message, as a matter of fact, which is what prompted this, because somebody messaged me and said they wanted to nominate their city council member. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain, you can nominate them, but we traditionally have kept it to, you know, I've had a lot of nominations for one particular member of our federal delegation, who shall remain nameless. That person gets a lot of nominations every year, every time we've done this. Dating back as far back into 2021.
Okay, yeah.
That member of our delegation always gets a lot of them. Donald Trump got one, which I don't know how you could think Donald Trump is a rhino, but hey. Yeah, that was a head scratcher.
That is a head scratcher.
But
okay, you know, so how long do people have to vote?
Typically,
is this open ended or is this something?
No. Typically, we leave it open for a couple weeks.
Okay,
and we've had almost 30 nominations so far, which is a lot.
That's a big field.
Yeah, that's more than we used to get. Mm-hmm. And we get them. You know, you can text, you can email, you can message through the through Facebook Messenger, or you can email john@knssradio.com, or you can nominations can be submitted via Facebook or email. So, and I think the promotion that we're running right now, the radio ad, will run for another week or 10 days or something, so that helps. That, you know, but it's also, you know, it's fun. You know, whoever wins it never wants the trophy. So it's amazing that same trophy we've had for like, you know, 7 years. They don't ever want the trophy, but it's okay. You know, yeah,
I'll chip in for the engraving.
Engraving sponsored by, it's, you know, it is what it is. But you know, it's kind of fun. At any rate, but we had another Facebook Messenger who was asking why we're doing it. And I said, cause it's, look, you know, if you're going to run one way and vote another, you should be held accountable. And all too often, most of the time, back when we first started it, is because there were a lot of state reps, particularly out in western Kansas. And then a lot of them lost re-election. So that's why we stopped. Is because a lot of them lost. Mm-hmm. And so now we brought it back because it's starting to come up again.
Well, I think it's a good time to bring it up, too, because this is the – we've got the
election
gubernatorial election coming up.
You've got the judicial selection coming up, and those are all important. I mean, heck, one rhino is running for governor, Vicky Schmidt. That's – by the way, Vicky Schmidt has received a lot of nominations. Mm-hmm. Which is another reason why we might open it up, because she's not eligible, but boy, does she deserve it. Before we get to the bottom of the hour, I did want to share one interesting, you know, CPAC is going on right now, Conservative Political Action. Yeah, so CPAC is going on. And Saturday, CPAC held a straw poll. They do this every year. They do a big straw poll at CPAC. And so here's what's interesting. CPAC had their State of the Union. And they always do a big straw poll for different things. So Saturday, CPAC had their straw poll, and the 2028 Republican presidential frontrunner at CPAC. Guess who won the CPAC presidential straw poll run?
Okay. Well, I've kind of paid attention a little bit to just the conservative media here. And so I've heard Marco Rubio's name.
He was one of them.
I've also heard, not so much Ron DeSantis, but I have heard, of course, J.D. Vance.
Okay.
I would say Rubio and Vance would be the two front runners.
So, following CPAC's straw poll, Saturday's CPAC straw poll, Vice President J.D. Vance remains the 2028 Republican frontrunner at 53%, but that is a drop from 61% last year. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio surged to 35%. So, Vance dropped from 61 to 53, and Rubio surged up to 35. So, yes, Vance is still the front runner, but Rubio is shifting and gaining on him. Mm-hmm. So, yes, those were the front two.
Okay.
Vance at 53, Rubio at 35.
So. Anybody else of significance in that?
You know, they
kind of drop off from there.
It drops off significantly from there. I mean, they don't really go into a lot of the details, But those were the two that they point out were the main front runners. It's, you know, I've never, this is one thing people ask me. I've never been to a CPAC, which is funny considering how many times. Well, that's not true. I did go to one in Kansas City. So I did go to the one in Kansas City when Chris Kobach was speaking and he was the nominee for governor. I was up there, but I was working because I was working for the campaign. Right. Mm-hmm. So I've never been as an attendee. I've always been as an employee of a campaign.
That would be fascinating as an attendee, though.
Yeah, it would be. It would be very different to be there in that capacity instead of in a capacity as an employee. So, yeah, I'm looking to see if I can get any of the other results, and those are the only two that they're showing at this point. So
I think each candidate of those two, I think each one brings something in particular to the table that is important. I love what Rubio is doing with his position as Secretary of State.
Yeah. I think he's exceeded expectations.
Yes, and doesn't seem to be on the sideline about anything.
No.
He is front and center, and I love what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think he's doing a really good job. And the one thing, bringing a level of maturity and statesmanship that is probably necessary right now. I mean, I love Trump, but Trump can be, as we all know, Trump can be bombastic. And I think Rubio is a good balance to that because Trump can, you know, Trump is Trump. And Trump is known. I mean, he's a New York developer. Trump throws bombs. And it's nice to have Rubio there to kind of temper that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he is a little more diplomatic, which is what you need.
I still find him fiery, though, and like that. And I believe me, I've seen some.
Yeah, I have too. But in diplomatic sense,
of course, yeah.
And Trump doesn't really have. Trump's not a diplomat.
No. But I think that's a strong suit for him as well.
Sure,
he is not your
Trump
typical politician.
Trump is the carry a big stick guy.
And I think that's what just pisses people off so much is that he is not being. Quote, I'm holding air quotes here, political.
No. And I like that. I like that about Rubio. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. And then Bill Walton from the host of the Bill Walton Show will tell us why he says Trump derangement syndrome has evolved from political rhetoric into a potential national security liability. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, as always, our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. With us now is Bill Walton. He is America's Renaissance CEO. He's the former chairman and CEO of a $10 billion NYSE traded investment company and a film producer and host of the Bill Walton Show. Bill, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
It's great. Thanks for having me on.
So, Bill, you know, it seems like with so much of the resistance to the president's agenda on many topics, for so much of the resistance, in my opinion, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think a lot of it can be tossed off to Trump derangement syndrome. But so much of it also is, in my opinion, it's based on style. You know, they don't like him. It goes back to his first term, actually, from my point of view. It's substance. It's the style over the substance. You know, they hate the mean tweets. They hate his etiquette, his process. They hate the fact that he's a mean guy and not necessarily anything that he has to say, but more the manner in which he says it.
Well, you know, what we're seeing here is when Trump derangement syndrome goes to war, they end up forming a coalition against victory.
Right.
And, you know, the very qualities that make him effective are the qualities they hate. And, you know, what made him effective as a New York real estate developer, probably one of the roughest environments you can operate in. You know, what made him successful as a reality TV show host? What got him elected twice as president of the United States, which, you know, nobody that's criticizing, they've never done any of those things. And so, but he's done it with a style that's, what do they call it, counterpunching. And he offends sensibilities. And of course, those sensibilities are the same thing that prevent people from doing anything that matters. And they're going to stay inside the guardrails, and they're going to do what we've always done. They're going to do it in the proper way. And, you know, that's the argument for the deep state establishment here in D.C. But, you know, he's also got other real enemies, and, you know, from, you know, infiltrating Chinese Communist Party and all that sort of thing. And they hate that he's effective. And you know, the thing he did with Iran is that I can sum up the justification in two words: Diego Garcia. And that's the airbase, the joint airbase with the UK and the Indian Ocean. And after this all got started, Iran wanted to show off, I guess, and they launched a missile that hit or close to our airbase there.
Right.
And it went 2,000 miles. And nobody knew they had that capability. And that puts Paris and potentially London in the bullseye. And so all these people who were going along with the status quo saying, well, you know, it's not going to be that bad. Well, it could have been very bad, especially if they put a nuclear warhead on it.
But, you know, I mean, we're at a point now, Bill, where I think this whole notion of Trump derangement syndrome has evolved from political rhetoric into potentially national security liability. You know, when they've gotten to a point where, I mean, you've seen the Twitter videos where Chuck Schumer, not too long ago, was on the floor of the Senate advocating we can't not fund DHS, for example. We can't not fund ICE. And now here he is leading a revolt going on, 40 days where they're not funding ICE, all because they're deranged, all because they hate Donald Trump.
They can't give him a win. They can't give him a win. It's absolutely insane. And, you know, the problem they have is that's an environment he's used to operating in. I mean, he's used to people with agendas out to, you know, to stop him. And he's a very unusual man, because instead of getting hurt by that, he thrives in it. And I think it gives him more energy. And I don't know anybody that has more rhinoceros hide than he does.
That's a good way of putting it. We're talking with Bill Walton, the host of The Bill Walton Show. But again, you're looking at the stakes surrounding not only Iran's nuclear ambition and the control of the Strait of Hormuz, but I mean, that's not the only risk here. I mean, when the establishment is so concerned about giving him a win that they're willing to, I mean, you've got ICE agents who are getting paid, but now you're talking about TSA agents, folks that are working on, you know, Homeland Security that have gone, there are 50,000 of them that are going without pay, and members of Congress on the Democrat side that really seem to not care just because they don't want to give Donald Trump a win. I mean, that really is a true sense of derangement, in my opinion.
And it goes way beyond the Democrat Party. I mean, the media is all in on this. I mean, it's like they're one creature working together, hand in glove, and you know, they're willing to sacrifice you know, our security, the nation's security, to not give him a win. But you know, there's another instance of this. You can look across the Atlantic at Europe and think about the myth of the climate change and green energy and everything that Europe's done to shut down their fossil fuel and their,
right,
you know, other sorts of terrible fuels. Well, what they've done, the elites in Europe have absolutely impoverished Europe. Germany, for example, used to be the growth engine, manufacturing engine of Europe, and now they're seeing their economy shrink 1-3% a year. They're heading into oblivion. And, you know, their leaders, they're not going to change course because they've got this ideology that they're going to stick to. And it's in a way, it's similar to what Trump has done by reversing all the energy policies that Biden and everybody before him put in place. He's doing something that's incredibly rational. The United States is now not dependent on Iran for war. We produce 20 billion gallons or gold, 20 million gallons, I guess, million or billion. You lose track of what the B's and the M's are. But we produce exactly what we consume. So we're not dependent on Iran or foreign sources of energy. And yet, had we listened to the climate change advocates, we absolutely would have been totally dependent on I'll call them the bad guys to tell, God knows what they would like to do to us. So he sees that, he's willing to take the heat, and I think we're really lucky to have him.
But, Bill, I guess to put a kind of a wrap on this, I guess what has happened to the guys that used to come together and find, I don't know if you want to, the policymakers, the level heads in the room that would come together and find common ground, maybe the Tip O'Neills, who could sit down with a Ronald Reagan and find some common ground. Where are those folks? I mean, is it surprisingly enough, is it the John Fettermans out there? I mean, where are we going to get to a point where they can find common ground and maybe work a deal with the president? Or is he just going to have to bull his way through and force this through Congress if he's going to get anything done?
He's going to have to bull his way through and force it. I'm living and working in the D.C. area, and it's just astonishing. When I got here 30 years ago, I was first here in 1972 when I worked in the Pentagon, and then you saw Democrats and Republicans, they'd go to dinner with each other, they'd play golf with each other, and it was, they had some differences, but they weren't the kind of differences we see today. And the differences now is that we've got two sides with just completely different conceptions of America and what's good for it. I'd argue that the Democrats don't have any ideas that are actually good for America. They have ideas which are fashionable and enhance their power, but they're not. None of their ideas work to create prosperity or to protect us. And so I don't see them getting together and compromising. We need a completely different type politician, but the politicians that get produced are produced by all the gerrymandering that's going on for 50, 60, 70 years. And most of these polls, Congress in particular, come from safe districts where they're either safe deep blue or safe deep red. And, they can't, these two groups couldn't agree on a single fact in order to begin to compromise.
Yeah, it is true. It's hard to get compromise when neither side is willing to come together and try and find common ground. So I don't know. I hope we're able to find something, but you're right. The president may just have to blow through the opposition, to put it mildly. Bill, if folks want to connect with you, they can find your podcast and other conversations that you've had at the BillWaltonShow.com, correct?
Exactly. And I've also got a website that's very cleverly named The Bill Walton Show on Substack. And we've got about 250, 275 shows which are, evergreen, that deal with, geopolitics and culture and economics, and a lot of terrific guests that, we try to explain things in plain English so people understand. And I've also been doing some writing, which is on the both the website and on the Substack site. And of course, I'm on all the social media platforms, on Twitter, WN Bill Walton.
Yeah, I follow you on X. And as a matter of fact, looking at your website, I've had a lot of your guests on my show as well. And again, it's the BillWaltonShow.com. And Bill, I appreciate you joining us this evening. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Great. Great talking with you.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you can join Americans for Prosperity Kansas on the third Saturday of every month for their focused day of action, as the volunteers and AFP staff take their message on judicial selection reform directly to voters. It's a great way for you to make your voice heard by getting out there and helping to educate voters on the most important issues of the day. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, while you're online, make sure to vote for your nomination for the White Rhino Award. Nominations are now open. So if you're interested, if you've, you know, if your rep or senator, state rep or state senator are not voting to represent you, well, go nominate them. The nominations are now open. We've 1, 2, 3, 4 all during tonight's show alone.
Nice.
So yeah, okay. It'll be kind of fun. It's always fun to do that. So, so here's an interesting one. This is, I don't know if you saw this story. So it's been confirmed. We've got, this is a story that was brought by Fox News. No Kings protests, protesters. They've now found 500 different organizations with $3 billion in annual revenue funding the No Kings protesters. I don't know if you saw that story, Phil.
I didn't, but I saw some of the Facebook posts yesterday, and I saw your reply was like, okay.
Who
paid him?
Does this surprise? Yeah, so I saw that too. I've been kind of sharing some of the, because there have been ads. You can go online and you can see ads for people to go protest or to sell merchandise to the protesters. And I'm sitting here going, you know, folks, yes, don't get me wrong. Not everybody who went down and protested was paid. But there was sure a heck of a lot of organization at these. A lot of the same signs. A lot of the signs that were clearly manufactured, that wasn't, you know, mom, pa, kettle sitting around with, you know, Sharpies drawing up these signs. There were a lot of signs that looked like they were fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them that had the same graphics. A lot of them that were printed at a print shop. And when you start seeing that, you can tell that there's a clear organizational structure in place here. And then you find 500 organizations with $3 billion in annual revenue behind these things. This is not an organization. And then, of course, you start looking at who these organizations are. And so many of them are directly related, you know, drawn back to China, that go back to these union organizations, that go back to Soros funded groups, that go back to these anarchist organizations. It's all one big anti-capitalist, socialist, Marxist groups. Big shock. You know, these people don't, you know, then they say we're here for democracy. No, you're not. You hate America.
You're here for the paycheck.
Well, that too. But I mean, you hate America. You hate Trump. And that's all this comes down to. And I love, you know, I saw another debate yesterday on CNN, when they were talking about we're here for pro-democracy. No, you're not. You hate these same people, as I tried to point out in the monologue, these same people who are now No Kings, No Kings, were the same ones that were trying to force us to wear masks and social distance and get vaccines and close down schools and close down churches and, you know, make you can't do this and you can't do that, when Dr. Fauci was telling us what we could and could not do.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a problem with kings back then, but now all of a sudden, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. I mean, that's the hypocrisy of this whole thing. So, but yeah, it was interesting. I've shared a link to this on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. It's just follow the money, folks. I mean, it's really what this comes down to. Follow the money on all of this nonsense. So, but, you know, we'll see. should be fascinating. Either way, get your nominations in for the White Rhino Award. We'll keep those nominations open in for another week or two. So in the meantime, have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables, and tune in tomorrow morning for Woodward and Witt.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.